Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. All right, guys, welcome back to part two of this menopause podcast with Say Grace Podcast. I've got Stacy here with me again for this episode. She is praying you guys are back with us. She's afraid that we scared y'all off. But if you didn't catch the last episode, the first part of this menopause podcast, make sure to go back and check it out. She just gives like the real truths about menopause. We talked about hormones and how they play effect on our body. We talked about how our bodies respond as we get closer to menopausal age. And then we talked about what menopause does to our bodies and how it does kind of suck. Yeah. But it's still good to know, right? And so today, though, we are going to talk more about how to come against that. How to say, okay, this is what it is, and this is what's going to happen to me or is happening to me, but there are things that I can do to make sure that I'm taking care of my body in the best way and, you know, hopefully feel as best as I possibly can as I progress through this part of my life. So, Stacy, talk to us a little bit about how specifically weight loss is affected when we hit menopause.
Okay. Thanks, Constance. I'm glad to be back with y'all. And we're just going to dive into the meaty part of what y'all are wanting to know. And that's like, how do I change my nutrition to combat what's going on with my body? And let me just tell y'all, if y'all have any questions for any of our ladies out there, you know, email me. And if I don't have the answer, I can sure enough put you in on a website that might have the right tools for you to research. So weight loss resistance leads to what I have heard termed the menopot, which is that
M-E-N-O-P-O-T.
Menopot, which is that precious thing that we like to call our muffin top that gets centered around the midsection of our body after a woman gets to the age of 40. And so now that you know this, all these Instagram people that you see that are 40, 42, 45, 48, y'all, it's all, you know, they have a menopot. It's surgically removed or they're taking good pictures from very good angles. All right. So there are three main components for a menopausal woman when it comes to the insulin resistance and losing weight and nutrition. And it's like a pyramid. And the bottom of that pyramid is one of the most important things. And we're going to dive deeper into this. And that is your gut. Because everything goes through your gut.
Y'all, this is like my favorite topic in the whole world.
I mean, golly, y'all. It's fascinating. It's really made me a nerd, like, researching all this.
And what's crazy is, like, we don't know, you know, because a lot of the gut bacteria dies before it can even come out to be studied in the labs. Listen to y'all, we're going to be here for hours.
I know, we are.
So we only know like a drop of how powerful the gut is.
That could be 5 months podcast worth of information. Yes. So the bottom is gut. The second is stress. And like we talked about, you know, when you enter all these stages, you're in the most stressful part of your life. And stress elevates our cortisol and our insulin levels. And with insulin levels, you're not going to lose weight because it's putting additional stress on your body and sending it into overload. And so the insulin resistance is going to make it harder. And that menopot is just going to
keep growing.
Keep growing. Mm-hmm. And then the top is sleep. Y'all, I love my sleep. But if we're not getting enough sleep, it adds to the stress and again increases those insulin levels. So just a little bit about insulin resistance. Insulin is secreted by the pancreas, and it helps get fat and glucose into the cells. When we have excess glucose, the fat that's left over is stored, which increases the menopause. A high level is a sign there's inflammation in the body and that something is just not right, and this insulin resistance leads to your weight gain. High insulin leads to high testosterone, which just explodes estrogen and increases the cortisol again and puts extra stress. And in the end,
it literally sounds like a bomb.
It does. And the body is depleted of that progesterone. And we talked a little bit about this in the first podcast. And so it leaves you estrogen dominant. That sister is just in there and she is just partying. So the body becomes impaired because everything is out of whack and we can't burn that precious fat that we want or need to. All right, so let's dive into that bottom part of the pyramid, which is the gut. Y'all, the gut is a huge part of our immune system, and there are so many factors of our life that affect the way our gut works and really how our body is going to work. And if your gut is not, and whose gut is 100% healthy?
Right.
And it just wreaks havoc on our weight loss efforts, and especially just compounds at this time of your life. I'm going to talk a little bit about a word called the microbiome, and that is healthy gut bacteria inside your small intestines. And can you guess what regulates that healthy bacteria?
I don't know.
Estrogen.
Oh my God. The wacky lady that's, you know, losing her mind in there.
Yes.
She regulates your gut.
Your gut health. And so if you have too much or too little, it's all out of whack. And so when you have this shift to low estrogen in your body during this time of your life, it leads to irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, and starts the weight gain process. Food is medicine, y'all. I mean, we talk about this all the time in our program, and this is when you really need to start looking at what you're eating and what you're putting in your body.
And I want to pause there because, like, I know with the program, we talk about eating foods that you love, mm-hmm. right? Like, we don't exclude anything, and that is a mindset. It is mainly from the mindset piece, right?
Like, yes.
Nutritionally and weight loss wise, you can eat whatever you want as long as you're within your calories and you lose weight. But, you know, it's really a starting point. We want you to feel mm-hmm. that freedom of losing weight while having, you know, the cookie or the fast mm-hmm. food or the whatever, and then start to feel how much better you feel as you're losing weight so that then you start to change some of the foods you eat.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're always encouraging, including the things that you really love, but filling in with the healthy things around it. Mm-hmm. And I think even through this, right, like that is still the goal.
100%. I mean, this is good information for you to take and adjust your lifestyle and things that you're eating, but not take anything out of it. I mean, and it's, you don't, not every day is going to be perfect, but
right.
it's just looking at the bigger picture of, okay, it's like an 80-20.
Right,
still.
That's right. That's
We preach 80%, 20% in our program, and this is the same thing.
Because, like, I mean, think about it. Like, and I think anyone listening knows this. Like, when you've had a day full of, like, donuts for breakfast, mm-hmm. Pizza for lunch, burgers and fries for dinner, your gut, you don't even have to be a scientist to know that your gut feels like crap.
Yeah.
And so it's very different from the way your gut would feel if you had, you know, some scrambled eggs with some fruit for breakfast.
That's
and
right.
a salad for lunch, and, you know, a good baked chicken and veggie situation for dinner. Like, that, your stomach, your mm-hmm. gut, the way you physically feel is very different
it
between
is.
Those 2 days. And so it's actually different in there as well. Like, mm-hmm. your gut makeup is happier when you have the healthier foods. And then Stacey's going to elaborate a little bit more on, like, how that affects menopause in itself.
Yeah. I mean, when you have made your gut as healthy as you can make it by the foods that you're eating, it's going to affect your brain and your mindset, like we said. So I did mention you can have the bloating, the constipation with menopause, and we were losing that estrogen. And in turn with that, we need to really, it's suggested to watch the amount of processed foods that you consume. Alcohol, which we will talk about that, sugar, and then hydration. Hydration, we preach it all the time, making sure that you are getting that water.
And this is for gut health specifically.
This is gut health specifically.
Across the board for everybody, not just menopausal women.
Yes, I mean. So eating during your cycle, if you're still a normal cycling woman, in day 1 to 14, we kind of disagreed about this a little bit, but you may feel you have more energy. Like after your cycle starts, your stress levels go down. There's an increase in us wanting to.
Dude, I said that. I feel like I have more energy as soon as my cycle starts over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also an increase that we may want to eat, especially a lot of sugary foods. Mm-hmm. But it's, from what I've read, this is also a good time that you can work on building muscle mass. It's because you've got more energy in these first 1 to 14 days. I could not find any research into eating between day 14 and 21, not to say it's not out there.
Okay, so I'm curious, and if you don't know, that's fine. But day 1 through 14... we have an increase in wanting to eat. Is our body using more energy? Like, are we expending more energy?
It is. It is. Because
of the processes that's going on.
Because of the processes. I mean, the hormones are changing and on you're leading into ovulation. So, yes, you are burning more energy during that okay. time. So, that's why, you know, it's a good thing for weightlifting and, you know, weight resistance training in that period of time, because you can put on that lean muscle mass.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
The last 7 days, 21 to 28, think about maybe pulling back on stressful activities, because you think your hormones have done all this up and down leading from the start of your period to ovulation. And so your body is just trying to get back into a normal rhythm.
She's tired.
She is tired. You may be less focused on as much energy. So this is a good time to really maybe put down that cookie. watch the eating of the sugars and the treats. Because your body is less stress resistant. It's probably not a good time to be working out excessively, because you're just going to deplete your body of what it needs anyway.
I think
because you're more
wild.
Insulin resistant.
Like, I notice towards the end of my cycle how a workout will just feel so mm-hmm. much harder to recover. It will feel so much like I will be dragging the mm-hmm. next day, you know, whereas towards the beginning of my cycle, I'm like, oh, I worked out yesterday, let's go again. I mean, you know, and that's me, not menopausal, y'all.
Yeah. So,
That's cycle for anyone.
It is. And I mean, it's giving your body that rest. So maybe concentrate on just, you know, walking more. Really think about, you know,
yoga.
Yoga is a great fat burner, mm-hmm. y'all. I mean, it's not so much good on the mind. It's good for the whole entire body. Think about eating more protein, higher fiber foods, things like that.
Taking care of your baby body while she's so tired. Take care of her. She does not want the cookie.
She doesn't want the cookie. She wants some nutrition.
Right, and some rest.
Okay.
So I saw
this. This is about to open up Pandora's box.
Okay.
Y'all.
So, but the research is here. But I do want to preface this, okay? Y'all, we are not advising this for anyone. We are not encouraging this. Again, this is Stacy coming here and telling you guys in 2 short episodes what she has learned, what she knows about menopause. And so I believe in sharing everything and letting you make your decision, okay? And so, while we do it in our program, we do not promote intermittent fasting. We also do not discourage it.
Yes.
Because we are aware of some of the studies. I would say of all the rising BS nutrition information out there, intermittent fasting is one of the ones that has some pretty consistent, convincing arguments. Now, there is studies to show it. For this, I'm talking about for weight loss specific, but
if it's done right.
If it's done right. And there are studies to show it. But for us as weight loss dietitians, we don't promote it because the effect is minimal. In our mind, it's mm-hmm. like a 50 calorie extra energy expenditure or something that we don't believe it's worth starving yourself for an entire day just to earn 50 more calories to eat that night for your weight loss goals, you right. know? And so when we talk about weight loss, we don't encourage it, but again, we know there's research there, so we don't discourage it. But the research for the menopausal women has shown to be pretty dang good.
It has. It has. And again, I want to preface this by saying if you have any history of an eating disorder, I do not recommend this because we don't want you to be sent down those triggers.
It's a trigger.
It's a trigger. So I will preface that.
And if you have any history of being a raging lunatic when you're starving... I mean, you know, like that's why we don't promote it because these women come out here starving to death, eating their kids' heads off, you know, snapping at them 24/7 in the name of weight loss. And it's just like, this is dumb. Just go eat like some lettuce.
Yes.
Go, I mean, go, eat think something.
Of your, think of those that love you.
Right. We don't want to turn you into a worse person. So, okay. So, all right, go ahead. Give us the intermittent fasting.
All right, and I'm going to say this is something personally after I read this that I kind of started playing around with. And y'all, I mean, I'm going to be blunt. I did Faster Way to Fat Loss, which is, it's a huge program out
before,
there.
Before
I did this. And y'all, I did not do it right. It caused me to gain weight. That's what really started the cycle. So this, like Constance said, is not for weight loss. This is for your hormonal health as you are a perimenopausal and menopausal mm-hmm. woman. Mm-hmm. So your blood sugar starts to decline.
Okay, I'm sorry I cut you off, but... No. I want everyone to also, because this is a huge thing. I'm like, okay, I want everyone to.
She's nervous.
I am because, let me tell you why. Because other people in my life, loved ones, have hormonal issues. They are younger. They mm-hmm. are trying to have babies. They are, you know, they're in, and intermittent fasting and bottoming out your hormones when your hormones are somewhat stable mm-hmm. is not as advised.
It's not. This is strictly
menopausal
women who this is aimed toward. And I mean, I'd
when your hormones have decided to get out of whack and you're trying your best to kind of get them back in
yes,
whack.
Yes, because but you're your trying hormones, to reset that gut
right.
that those hormones have messed
right.
up.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, you're fine. Mm-hmm. So your blood sugar starts to decrease from an 8 to a 12 hour period. And during that period, your body switches to a fat burning state. It depends on the person about how long it takes to get there, but most it happens around 10 to 12 hours, which...
So 10 to 12 hours of no food.
Of no food. But y'all, if you think about it, it's sleeping. During the time that you're sleeping. Yeah. So that is intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 hours is from the moment you take that last... piece of food. So say, I'm going to say last night. So I stopped eating, I think around 8:15. No, I did eat before I came here, but I got a good 10 hours.
And it's with the morning time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I fasted. I let my gut take a reset, to let the inflammation go down, to, help the fat burning, to just reset my gut in general. And there are different times, and I will kind of touch on those just a little bit because I don't want to go into too much depth to confuse anybody and mm-hmm. think that they have to be fasting for 3 days. But this is just kind of a biochemistry lesson, let's just say.
Mm-hmm. Her husband is one.
All right. So the 12 hours from when you eat, this starts the clock of your fasting. At 17 hours, this is when your cells start to get rid of things that don't work for your body anymore, and the body's own repair system starts to kick in. 24 hours is a total gut reset, and you get rid of the gut bacteria. This is really good for those that have been on antibiotics for a long time and those that have really, really, if you've been eating really, really poorly. Now, I don't recommend
a 24-hour fast.
Regularly.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's like, and if you need every now and then a reset.
A reset, yes. And, you know, if you have been on vacation and you've been on a cruise.
And you feel like garbage.
Because
you're menopausal, you always feeling like garbage.
That's right. But it does not necessarily mean that you have to come back and fast for 24 hours. Just get back onto a good eating plan and get that water back in. So,
okay,
that is the tidbit of intermittent fasting. If you have any questions.
And so it's strictly from a gut.
It's strictly from a gut health reset.
And I mean, if you think about it, you're just like, because y'all remember, our bodies are always moving. They are always shedding off the damaged or the used up things and rebuilding new.
Yes.
And so in that fasting period, what it's doing really is allowing your body to do what it's designed to do. Get rid of the junk, rebuild things new and better and best for you without you poisoning it with all the junk that you would otherwise eat. Like, that's honestly what it is.
It's like changing the oil in your car. You have to drain out the oil that was there to reset your car. Well, your gut is the same way. And so, you know?
Right.
It's just, I mean, a 12-hour thing, when you're asleep, your gut is resetting itself. It's cleansing itself. It's letting the natural things come back in just to make it healthy again when your hormones are causing...
eating donuts and ruining it all. You know what I mean? So it's just that encouragement to not.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So what are we supposed to eat? Y'all are out there going, okay, when is she going to fast forward and get to the end of this? No. All right. So remember we talked about the decreased estrogen and that gut microbiome that we need to make our gut healthy.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. So if they don't want to fast, because again, we said it's not required.
Right.
What are like some foods that they can do to also help with their gut health, with their menopausal symptoms, all the things?
Okay. Limit your sugar, limit your complex carbohydrates.
No, your simple carbs.
Your simple carbs. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. We'll be saying this. We say those all the time.
Limit sugar and simple carbs. Yes. Get your plate out. Make it look like a rainbow of fruits and vegetables, you know, like your dark green leafy vegetables, your cauliflower, your
blueberries,
things like that.
Broccoli, spinach, kale.
So this really goes hand in hand as you get older, where you need to make sure that you're getting those complex carbohydrates in and those cruciferous vegetables, which is such a hard word to say.
They're full of fiber.
They're full of fiber, because as you get older, your gut starts to slow down, and we have to pump it with foods that are going to keep things moving in your gut and your intestines, so that you
go to the bathroom.
Okay. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I mean,
still are able to turn over those cells, to rebuild all the healthy things.
Cause you want to put the fiber in your body to help detoxify the estrogen, so it doesn't just sit there as fat and cause that menopot to grow even more. So pump it with good things. Broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, kale, Brussels sprouts that can push that estrogen out. Chia seeds, flax seeds. You can eat those to salads, smoothies, overnight oats. Constance and I both, and a lot of our ladies do, love the 100-calorie steel-cut oats.
Mm-hmm. The pouches, ready to roll.
They're very good in fiber, calories. The whole thing it's a good nutritional breakdown. But add some chia seeds to that, or some flax seeds. Prebiotic and probiotic foods. Your prebiotic foods come from onions, asparagus, garlic, bananas. I don't cook enough with onions, and I tend to forget, and we've mentioned this before, buy the frozen onions in the bag.
Yeah. I am not cutting an onion.
I know. I'm not either, but they're so good at getting those good prebiotics.
And so the prebiotics, though. So yes. Prebiotics are the food in foods that you need to like prepare your gut. Okay, for the gut, for the probiotics that are to come after that help improve the gut health. Yes. They both improve gut health across the board.
But this is going to help line your gut to protect it.
Right.
And help absorb nutrients.
Right. And so prebiotics are just harder to freaking get for me. I'm just, too, because I take a probiotic supplement.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know this is not gut health talk, but y'all, I had a C-section after Sarah Mason and my gut was wrecked. Mm-hmm. It was wrecked. And I had thrush because I was breastfeeding. I had thrush a million times. And like, that's when I really dove into that gut health focus and took probiotics every day. And I just didn't stop after I had breastfed her, after I recovered from the C-section. I feel like a different person. And I am just now to the point where because then I had Glory and I felt like I started it all over again. But I'm just now to the point where I feel like, okay, I don't have to take a probiotic every single day because my gut is just so improved, you know?
I'm actually doing a little bit of playing around with that myself since I am in the late stage of perimenopause. I have taken one for years and years and years and years. And reading this in the last 10 months has really made me increase my focus and making sure I'm getting those high fiber things in to where I have backed off my probiotic. Not to say that, I mean, you may need one, but I'm just kind of playing around to see how my gut is responding to just the natural foods that came from the ground, from Mother Earth, just to see. So I'll report back and let you know.
Let us know. Okay, so anyway, the prebiotic foods set us up, which are the onions, garlic, bananas, and then probiotics.
Sauerkraut, kombucha, which my husband drinks kombucha, kefir all the time, yogurt, pickles. Golly, I love some pickles. Mm-hmm. And sourdough bread, any kind of thing that is fermented. Those are going to get those good probiotic things in there that your gut needs. So we want to bring up the slow transit time that's in our guts, and that's going to be through these cruciferous vegetables, our complex carbs, the pre and the probiotic foods. Because we tend to think, oh my gosh, my stomach is so bloated. I've got reflux. I feel constipated. And so when we do this, we think, oh, I'm just going to cut back on my eating, or I'll just fast
a little
bit.
Stacey said to fast.
I did. I said the word. But that's not what our gut needs. This does not cause our food to pass through faster. So just get all these things in there because it's going to keep that train moving right on through you.
And giving you all the good healthy stuff.
And giving you all the good things that you need.
Okay, yeah. So we've talked about the gut. Now we're going to kind of talk a little bit about each of the macronutrients. We talk about our macros with our girls all the time. And, you know, we focus on calories first for the weight loss, but then we dive off into the macros as well because it's really crazy like how effective different macros are and how it can just, you know, change how you feel, change how things respond. And so Stacey's going to walk through and talk to us about each macro, and we're going to start and how it is directly affected with menopause because things change. And so, you know, we love some carbs around here. And so we always encourage the carbs in moderation. But, you know, it seems that as with weight loss, you know, just like with weight loss, it seems like in menopause, there are some carbs that are better than others.
Yes. This goes back to talking about those complex carbs and the cruciferous vegetables, because in peri and postmenopausal, carbs do play a different role. They're not created equal. And it's not to say to cut these out, because like Constance said, we're not about that. It is about making sure that you are getting a whole rounded
balance
of food. When one or more of our hormones is out of whack, the body does react differently to carbs and the way it affects our insulin. We just want to be mindful of those processed carbs like French fries, crackers, things like that. With menopause, estrogen, she's not driving that car anymore. So we want to, again, get those complex carbohydrates, sweet potatoes, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, white potatoes, squash. I mean, we're in the fall. Like, I have, mm-hmm. I'm cooking a lot of spaghetti squash, butternut squash, acorn squash, all those things that are just so full of so many different nutrients and fiber, and that can help our bodies break down the things that it needs to. Lentils, your dried peas and beans, white rice. Y'all, don't give white rice a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
And we quinoa.
Love some white rice.
We do too. I read something recently that said white rice is a good dinner time carb because it's been known to make you sleep at night.
Yes. Wait, I read that. I've read that too.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah. We buy a lot of the 90-second rice, or even like the individual cups of rice, yeah, just because it's quicker. And I know all of y'all out there in a hurry, just like we are. So, those are great. Steel cut oats, we mentioned that, and fruit.
Okay. So, yeah. So again, it sounds like more of the complex carbs, less of the simple carbs, which,
yes,
complex, again, have the more fiber. This is in across the board, more fiber,
yes,
more nutrients that are going to be doing good things for your body. Not to say that you can't have some of the, like, you know, cookies, starchy dessert type things, but when we're thinking about eating for our body's health, it is a better, you know, focus on those complex,
yes,
carbs for,
yes,
our body. Okay,
yes.
So we know that fat in general is helpful with our hormones, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, fat is needed for our hormone health, the fat foods, macro fat, not...
It is, I mean, y'all, fat doesn't make you fat.
Right. Okay, so talk to us.
So fat produces estrogen. The fat cells produce estrogen, so your body is trying to compensate because of the decreased estrogen that's in your body when you're in this phase of your life. So the cells are looking for fat because you've lost that estrogen.
It needs it.
It needs it. And it also, we've used the word gut a lot in here, but it does. It helps things with your gut too. And with that fat, you're trying to keep your muscle mass. So this is where weight training can really come in, to keep your muscle mass. And think about those good quality fats, nuts, olive oil,
fish,
anything that's got high omega-3s in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Avocados, olives.
Poultry, lower fat poultry is still, you know, like,
yeah,
the turkey and the chicken.
You do want to stick with your lower, your lower fat meats, your leaner
lean
meats.
Lean cuts of beef,
yes,
for the most part.
Yeah, and then get those fats from the natural fats, from oil and nuts and avocado, olives, those types
of
things.
Yeah, because you don't find the fats up in the, you know, lard made cookies. Y'all, this was the wrong time. We're gonna send these people into Christmas and they're gonna be like, Stacy says I'll be less crazy through menopause if I don't eat this cookie.
Y'all.
But, you know, again, everything in moderation. Okay, so, and we saved the very best for last. Everyone's favorite macro, it seems, to talk about, protein. A lot of our women come into our program so overwhelmed by protein because they've had like a trainer or the internet or someone tell them that they need so much and then they can never get all the protein in. And a lot of times our ladies are misinformed and they already feel defeated by, you know, their weight loss attempt because they've tried so hard to get so much protein in. And so really, like, at my age and with a moderate activity level, we don't need as much protein. I mean, we still need a good amount, but I say that to compare it to, you need more protein in menopause. And it makes sense because as you age, right, your muscle mass decreases, your bones get weaker. And so you need more protein as you age in general. I would say even a man would need more protein as he ages. But then when you talk about menopause as well, it makes perfect sense.
It does. And, you know, I have really kind of been playing around with this and really trying to get at least 25 to 30 grams of protein in my meals. And I honestly have started seeing a difference in the lean muscle mass that I'm trying to build because I started weightlifting, I mean, several years ago. But I have noticed my energy level when I really am getting that good quality protein in.
This is crazy because you've been like me forever, struggling to get your protein in.
I know. And now, like, I mean,
protein is just not my favorite food, y'all.
See, I love it.
I mean,
and I mean, I can suggest some things that I have done that worked, but I mean, it doesn't have to be hard. Like, you don't have to sit there and eat an 8-ounce piece of chicken.
Right. Dry.
but you really want to consider what your body's going through and adjust it based on what you're doing. And your duration, especially if you're active and you're weightlifting. Protein is needed for our mental focus, balancing our blood sugar, and therefore putting less stress on our adrenal glands. It helps control our hunger and our energy.
Not to mention it helps our muscle mass.
It does.
Our muscles.
Our bone density, our sleep, and our fat loss, because it takes more energy to digest the protein. So there, in turn, you can lose a little bit of
your body's working harder.
Your body's working harder.
Yeah.
Osteoporosis is a huge thing that can happen as you get older. So making sure you have enough good quality protein helps you with your muscles and osteoporosis development and decreases your risk of injury. Now, the kind of protein you eat does matter.
Mm-hmm. I think this is so important because I feel like a lot of people are on the plant-based protein.
Plant-based is a buzzword right now.
Right.
And people are just like, oh, you know, we're not going to eat the animal protein because it's just chock full of, you know, added pesticides or hormones
or you don't know the blend. What's in the blend of
y'all,
the whey?
I mean, animal protein is the best. I've in anything that I've listened to or read, nothing. And I've read a lot of things from other dietitians that are trained in functional wellness. And they all across the board say animal is the best.
Okay, and tell them why. And this is for anybody. This animal protein is pretty much the best for anybody because of what's in it. So tell them why.
So animals have many of the essential amino acids that our body does not get and that our body does not produce.
So we have several amino acids that are needed.
Yeah.
But our body produces some of them.
Yes, but not all of them. Plant protein on the other hand, does not. It has some, but not half of what we get from the animal products.
So our body produces some. But then with animal protein, if we eat animal protein, we get the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 9.
It's 9.
The rest of that that our body is not currently making.
Right.
And so if we are just living and eating some animal protein, we get in all them amino acids. And every amino acid has a purpose for mm-hmm. our body. Like mm-hmm. we need each one of them for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the plant protein, you can get some from a plant protein, and you can even combine foods get all 9 that
yeah.
you need. But if you just like eat a piece of chicken, you good with, you know, with. And so where it comes into play with the supplements, I think, like, just taking a detour here, is like if you're going to get a protein shake, if you get a protein shake that's got whey in it, you're going to get all 9 essential amino mm-hmm. acids. Because that whey has come from an animal.
Right.
Whereas with plant protein.
I'm glad
protein,
you brought this up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like this topic. But with plant protein, you just, sometimes they don't even like list out what's all in it. Like you just got to trust that you're in. I find it hard to believe that you're getting what you need with the plant protein.
Well, and because of the way that our stomach reacts to some of those, like I've played around with different protein powders because I do love to drink a protein shake because it's a quick, you know, 25 to 30 grams that you can get. And a lot of times I would drink it on the way to carpool as like my mid-afternoon snack. Mm-hmm. And I would chop it full of, you know, spinach in there. I had all kinds of fruits in there. And whey protein in general, my stomach just digested it better
mm-hmm.
than the plant
mm-hmm.
protein.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, and two, there's a whole... it's got to be clean.
It does right? have you to be clean. It's
got, and by clean, I mean the way W-H-E-Y is processed. It can be processed in a clean way where it kind of, it's broken down to just be really that whey protein, or you can get a lot of that extra random junk that, I mean, comes from.
And that's where it just, I mean, read the nutritional ingredients in some of those protein powders, because if it's got a lot of things that you can't pronounce, it's pretty much not clean.
Or a blend, and it's not one of the first ingredients of the ingredient list, then you know that it's probably not been processed as well. And that's why that's why protein powders are more expensive. Mm-hmm. Like the more expensive ones truly are the better choice in this instance, because it takes a lot more money to break that down to be as clean as possible so that it's digested as easily as possible.
And your protein bars are the same way, you know. Don't rely on those a lot to get an extra source of protein, because they can be just
full of junk.
Just as full of junk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and cause a stomach ache, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, they can. And for those of you that do like protein bars, I personally like the RX bars. It's made with five ingredients. I don't know, the Built bars, if you've tried those. I like the Built bars. Those are pretty clean too. And they have a lot of fiber in there. So try those. So our lean meats, red meat, venison. Constance is a huge venison person over here.
Because I gotta be, y'all. He's shoving that freezer full.
Yes. Eggs, turkey, wild-caught fish and seafood, Greek yogurt, which is also packed with a lot of those probiotics that we need. Mm-hmm. Cheese, ricotta cheese, cottage cheese, parm, goat cheese, mozzarella. Those are all high protein sources.
And they're, animal source of protein.
Yes.
Okay, now
we might be ending this one with a bad.
Let's talk about the last but not least, alcohol. You know what I was thinking about last night before? We're watching Beckham, the thing on Netflix. Have y'all watched it?
No.
It's about David Beckham.
Oh.
And it shows them out, like drinking. And I'm just thinking, like, these professional athletes who know the impact that alcohol can have on their body, they still drink. Like, people, we know, this is preface to what you're about to drop on these people. We know that alcohol, just like with anything, y'all are going to listen to this podcast and then tomorrow pop a piece of candy in your mouth. Like, we know.
Or while you're listening to it.
While you're listening, you're drinking your milkshake. You know, we know that some foods and some beverages are not the best for our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes the mindset outweighs, like the release, the relax, the flavor, the whatever it is, the social impact matters more. And mm-hmm. and so I just as she set y'all up to cry, I want to remind y'all of that like and I'll cover that in just a minute. Okay, go with the alcohol, Stacey.
So as you get older, alcohol is totally metabolized a whole lot different. Now we can still lose weight and still enjoy drinking.
If you stay in a calorie deficit,
but the way that it affects your body as you get older is different. And I've noticed this. I mean, I love a glass of wine. I love a good cocktail. But with menopause, alcohol exacerbates those symptoms, like the hot flashes, the night sweats, the trouble sleeping, and
so you feel like extra hungover.
You feel after you one do, glass of wine. After one glass of wine. I mean, I can have a headache if I have one glass of wine, or I can just you wake up feeling sluggish, and it is not good for our waistline either,
right?
Because it's just empty calories. And so
after one glass of wine, it's so easy to
then get another glass
of wine. To be a little impaired and think, what's one more glass of wine?
Yeah, or I think I need to eat some crackers with this.
Yes.
So it's not saying to cut it completely out of your diet, but it needs to a different shift needs to come from, is it really worth it to drink this glass of wine?
Right. Not just
or this
from,
cocktail.
Not just from the fact that like your metabolism's slowing down, like every it, alcohol.
It's the health benefits of it anyway, because you're trying to work enough to put good food in there that we just talked about to help balance out those hormones that are decreasing or no longer there.
Because this is not in your notes, but I mean, alcohol really does jack up our gut health as
it
well.
Does.
So
it does.
I mean, all if you're out there like eating some sauerkraut, bananas, onions, garlic, all the disgusting things, and then having a glass of wine behind it, it's kind of like, what did I just do this for?
You know? It's just like it zeroes it out. Right. It's, yeah. Now, I know we're in the holidays, and...
And just being mindful. And again, one glass, and I mean, Stacey's saying this, y'all, from like, I know we're going to have our Christmas party soon, and I know she's going to have a glass of wine with us. Like, mm-hmm. I know it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
She's not, like, promoting no alcohol, but it is something to just be mindful of, to drink your water before and a ton of water after.
Yeah.
Really make sure to try to get those healthy foods in as you can, you know, as you...
And it does. I mean, alcohol, it dehydrates you also. And as you get older, you know, you lose more bodily fluids, and your skin is drier. So it just take those things into consideration. And, you know, I'm a good component. If you do have a glass of wine, have a liquid IV or something, mm-hmm. just to get that hydration back, because even one drink can dehydrate you yes. more than you realize.
And I think that's what I've noticed, like, as I've gotten older. I mean, I could have several glasses of wine probably 5 years ago and
yeah.
wake up fine. And now I will have one glass and I will have the worst headache
yeah.
if I don't make sure to get my water in and kind of give myself some time before I go to bed, you know?
I've just noticed myself, if I have one glass, I mean, I will wake up at 2 a.m. sweating.
Oh, gag.
And I mean, where I don't have any covers on me. So.
Right, right.
yeah.
Okay, and so as we wrap this up, I do want to remind everyone that, like, we have had lots of information these last two episodes, and, like, it's such good information. It's such valuable information. I anticipate all the good messages and emails, because I know so many of you guys have just kind of wanted to not even have a rule book as much as just kind of understand and know how they play, how weight loss, how nutrition plays a part in our menopause and the things we can do to help and not hurt ourselves worse. And so this is what we have given you on these mm-hmm. two episodes. Now, with that said, it's been a lot of things that might feel overwhelming, you know, like, oh my gosh, no more wine. And oh my gosh, did she say I need to fast and more protein and all the things. And so I want to remind you though, that above anything else that was said here, facts, science, all the, you know, all the good stuff, above all, the mindset matters the most, right? Like we want to be able to think and feel good in our skin, okay? Yep. And if you are torturing yourself in the name of weight loss and menopause, it's not, it, just because like Stacey said, the effect of stress on our body in menopause is so much larger. It is so much more impactful. And so if you are saying, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to eat, you know, all this high protein food, I'm going to fast, I'm going to, you know, only have broccoli and, you know, all the good carbs, I'm going to do all this stuff, I'm going to walk, if you are putting that kind of pressure on yourself in the name of menopause or in the name of weight loss in general, like it is going to possibly do more harm than good if your mindset is not there. If you are letting that estrogen just get wild in that brain and
yeah.
act crazy and you know, if so I want to just remind you guys that yes, we've given you lots of good information, but really focusing on finding peace with what you can try now and the things you cannot try now. And then as you evolve, those efforts will evolve too, right? So maybe just start with one thing. Maybe yeah. just start with, instead of two glasses of wine a night, let's just try one.
Yeah.
Or let's just try two glasses every other night. Or instead of, you know, cutting out all sweets, maybe just try adding that probiotic supplement in first. Like whatever it can be, just one, like we always talk about here, one step at a time. One foot in front of the other, and then we can always layer on top of that. We never want you to feel overwhelmed and like you have to completely change your entire life. Stacey just offered a lot of good tips for you wherever you are in life and wherever you can, you know, start focusing first. Now,
well, and I will say, if I can go back and add yeah. one thing that, because this is my first podcast, I guess it's the second one, but
yeah, go ahead.
If you're still sitting there going, okay, well, she didn't tell me what to eat or what do I eat? This is a good rule of thumb. When you're in menopause, keep your breakfast like a lot more protein, mm-hmm. With some carbs. Let your carbs come from like your oatmeal or your fruit, but really make sure you get that protein in there from eggs, things like that. Lunch, have a big salad, chock full of protein. Have some crackers, add any kind of cruciferous hearty vegetable in there. Put those chia seeds mm-hmm. in there, pomegranate seeds, and then let your meal, and y'all, this blew me away in menopause. Let your night meal be your heavy meal with where you're getting a lot more of your carbohydrates in with your protein and your vegetables, because it's going to in turn help your gut relax, which is going to help you sleep and keep those insulin levels down through the night.
Like the white rice.
The white rice. Yeah, your complex carbohydrates. Excuse me. So,
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because, you usually hear like a lighter dinner. You know,
yeah.
We don't really promote that because time, right? Like, you just eat what you can, sis.
we're eating our right. Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Right. On the drive to soccer from dance to, you know, yes, whatever. But, yes. Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So, to wrap it up, I just want to remind y'all that you can lose weight in menopause. Okay. That is the moral of this story, but it requires some patience and some acceptance. And I think all of our menopausal ladies know that are in our program, or have been before. Like, we tell you, yeah, girl, come on, join us, but just know that it may take a little time. And so don't compare yourself to the 25-year-old in here that's trying to lose her first baby weight, you know? So just accepting it on the front end, like, hey, it's not going to happen as fast as it did maybe 20 years ago, but it can happen. And really just listen to your body and tune into it. Like, how is it responding to certain foods? How is it responding to certain physical activity? And then, you know, realizing that our body is going to tell us what it needs. And now that you have this information that we've shared, you will be able to know like how to respond to your body in those certain situations. Remembering that it's not always going to feel perfect. Even though, you know, you want to make these changes so bad to feel better, there's still going to be days that you find yourself overeating, or you're going to have too many of those simple carbs, or you're going to undereat your protein and not even realize it. Hello, that's me. But it's okay. We're never going to be perfect. But as long as we keep working in that direction, we know where we want to go. And that is a good start. That is good progress. Right. So thank y'all for joining us. I hope y'all enjoy this 2-part menopause episode. And until next time, say grace. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the foods you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!